Well, good morning again. I'm not sure what exactly has sucked all the energy out of this room, but I'm hoping by the end of this, you'll feel a little better leaving than you may be feeling right now. And the reason being is at New Year's, and we're, 10 days into New Year's? I'm going to try to figure this out. I'm not sure how this is going to work. We're about 10 days into New Year's, correct? In New Year's, what do people often do for New Year's? New Year's comes up and you create some resolutions, right? You make some resolutions. And those resolutions, let me ask you actually, that's before we do that. How many here made resolutions? It's okay, it's safe. Are you telling me the visitors made resolutions more than the people who come regularly? Well, I did make for them. Now, is there anybody willing, don't worry, I won't call on you if you don't want to, but is anybody willing to share a couple of their resolutions, something that's not too embarrassing? What do you got for a resolution? What? Listen more? I need to do that, especially at work. At work, I've told those who work with me that the more you want to speak, probably the less you should. Listen more. Any other resolutions? Sharon? There you go, Sharon. Now, if you didn't hear what she said, is that, and this is going to go with what we're about to talk to, that yet usually she makes a resolution to say lose weight. We're not successful, so this year she figured maybe I won't make any resolutions, and we'll see what will happen. So let's go ahead and look at it. So I don't know, anybody else interested in resolutions? Because I was kind of interested in what people would do for resolutions. And so last week in the tween teen class, that's not happening today because I wanted them to stay in here. Luckily, you could see they didn't fill up all the space, left you some seats anyway. I ran right to the internet to find out. Now, I do realize, by the way, that we have to be cautious when we go to the internet, and I do pay heed to something that a famous president said that I found on the web. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as advising, don't believe everything you hear or read on the internet. Okay, just let it sink in for a second. There you go, because if I have to explain it, okay. Nielsen, people familiar with Nielsen, they're the ones that I knew them growing up because they figured out, they told us what we were watching on TV. Never knew if we really were. So I think they're pretty safe. But they did actually a review at the end of 2014. They didn't have one for this year, but these were their top 10 resolutions. You ready for this? Stay fit and healthy. That was 37%. 32%, Sharon, lose weight. Enjoy life to the fullest. That was 28%. 25% said spend less, save more. Seems reasonable. 19% said spend more time with family and friends. Means we have to turn these things off, doesn't it? All right. Family and friends. 18% get organized. You'll like this one, Sharon. 16% said, will not make any resolutions. There you go. The rebellious type. Learn something new, a new hobby. That was 14%. Travel more was 14%. And read more was 12%. Now, ignoring that it's kind of a sad commentary on society, that not a single one of the top 10 resolutions was spiritual, not even one. Are at least most of them okay? Would you say they're okay resolutions? Anything jump out at you as bad? You know, I think I'll use more drugs or anything like that. Now, if any of you, the ones that did make resolutions, and admitted it, the ones that did make resolutions, were any of the Nielsen ones in your list? Yes, no? I had about four, actually. Lose weight, be better with money, read more. And I want to get my technical and general ham license. I think that would come under a new hobby or learning something new. And based on those who admitted that they made resolutions, we've got about maybe 10% of the people in here said that they had resolutions. Now here's a question for you. How many of you have already failed at your resolutions? You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, look, he was being honest. The visitor is, it's like a seesaw, kind of, maybe. Depends if you're kind to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I've done the best with it, but I have done somewhat good with it.
Somewhat good.
Yeah.
Early in the year, be kind to yourself, right? But the reality is, you know, if the more you front-loaded your resolutions, the more likely that you actually have blown it already. I mean, it's the reality of life, right? So, you know, I don't trust it quite as much as Nielsen's site, but I did find Forbes linking to this, and they actually list that other places, like I think Time, use this site. It's called the Statistical Brain Research Institute, and they had some interesting numbers, too. They say it's from the University of Scranton's Journal of Clinical Psychology. They say 45% of Americans usually make New Year's resolutions. So I know some of you didn't raise your hand when you could have. 38% never make New Year's resolutions. 75% of people who make resolutions make it through the first week. If you do the math, that means 25% don't. There you go. 71% through the first 2 weeks, which we're about to hit, and only 64% through the first month. Now that may be depressing, but it gets even worse. Ready? Only 8% actually are successful. Although 49% have infrequent success, and I'm not sure what that means, infrequent success. Pretty depressing, right? Less than 1 in 10 actually succeed in their New Year's resolutions, if the numbers are correct. But that site also said this, so I want you to listen, because sharing this may make you want to reconsider for next year. People who explicitly make resolutions are 10 times more likely to attain their goals than people who don't explicitly make resolutions. 10 times more likely. So more power to explicit resolutions. At work, we use, I don't know if anybody's heard this acronym, SMART. What SMART resolution? Goals. We say SMART goals, right? They should be specific, measurable, attainable, results-focused, and time-bound. And time-bound. And if you think about it, I think I'll be a better person. Does that fit any of those? Not at all, right? So the fact is, if you do that, if you're willing to make some resolutions or goals and you're very specific, and well, let's just say SMART, you're going to be 10 times more likely. But I really didn't stand up here to talk about how to do resolutions. We won't go to like a whiteboard and figure out together what we're going to promise as a church to do. But given the high statistical chance that some of you have already blown it and that by the end of the year you will blow it, I titled this sermon, Now That You Have Blown It. Now That You Have Blown It. It is said, however, that a church is not a museum for saints. They're what? A hospital for sinners. So any of us surprised that we're going to blow it? And I'm not talking about unimportant ones like, if you remember the list, live life to the fullest or travel more. As a matter of fact, and please don't take this bad if that happens to be on your list, I would suggest that if that's really high up on your list of resolutions, that you should probably reconsider your priorities. Because as a Christian, we claim to believe that there's something more important. We put the kingdom of God first, and we also believe we're going to spend an eternity in heaven. And let's think about that. That'll be true living life to the fullest. And as for travel, I don't know about you guys, but when Jesus comes in the clouds, I look forward to traveling finally. I dream of flying. I look forward to finally doing it. So, you know, as Christians, I think that we don't want to focus on the unimportant ones. Instead, what if you have failed at a resolution that really matters? For instance, what if you resolve to read the Bible daily? I suspect if you've done that, day 10, there's a good chance that you've already missed a day. How about stop cranking at your family? That was your resolution. I'm not going to be mean to people anymore. How about you resolve to pray daily or take care of your body? And that was kind of in the other one. Or stop, then fill in your sin here. Because we all wrestle with sin, don't we? And often we'll make a resolution. We're going to say, I'm going to stop watching this kind of thing that I know I shouldn't watch, or I don't want to go into lists. And you know, it might be that last one that's most important, isn't it? Something like reading the Bible is really a noble resolution. But you know what? Or reading the Bible daily. But you know what? The Bible itself doesn't say you have to. And if you think about it, a lot of Christians through the ages didn't even have Bibles to read daily. So it's a noble one, but the Bible doesn't require it, and we shouldn't lay any burden on ourselves or anybody else that doesn't do it. It doesn't mean it's not a good resolution, but if you miss a day, it is what it is. However, it's when you resolve to stop doing something, some sin of commission or omission, that's when your conscience kicks in. When you blow that resolution is when your conscience kicks in, or at least should, right? But it kicks in, and perhaps it makes you feel like a loser. Like God is mad at you. Like God has rejected you. So the question is, if you couldn't keep your resolutions even 10 days into 2016, does that make you a loser? Is God mad at you? Has God rejected you? Where should we go to find those answers? The internet? No, we should go where we always go. So grab your pew Bibles. Please grab your pew Bibles, and let's go ahead and dive in and take a look at what we should do when we blow it, or if we've already blown it. To start our swim in Scripture, to use that analogy a bit longer, let's look at Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, page 848, page 848. So there are two things, when I do my sermons, two things when I prepare them that I worry about. It used to be only one. I used to be afraid that I write the reference down. Now I'm afraid that I write the page number down wrong. So 848. And what we're going to look at is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Are we there? Okay. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Does everybody here believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Good. Good sign. Does everybody believe that Jesus is God? Yes. Good. Good. So Jesus is God. And what does it say about Jesus' view of our weaknesses? How he deals with them? I thought I heard it. Say it louder. Carol, he sympathizes, right? God sympathizes. He is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. God understands. He has been tempted in every way as you and I, as you and I. And although he has never experienced this part, he understands when you blow it. God understands when you blow it. Now, he's not happy about your sins. I don't want anybody leaving here thinking that God's all okay with it. But a God who sympathizes with our sins, who sympathizes, I should say, with our weaknesses, which lead to our sins, is not going to reject one of his adopted children. Just like that. Now, in case you are sitting there and you kind of mentally divide the Son from the Father, let's take a look at something that Peter said. Let's turn to page 859. We're going to look at 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. That's on page 859. And tell when I'm getting older, or next time I think I'll ask for the large print version. 859, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now focus on this next one. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares. Thank you. Cares for you. When God talks of, when Peter talks of God's mighty hand, do you think he's talking about the Father or the Son? In that case, he's probably talking about the Father. As a whole, when the Bible references God, he's talking about the Father. Not that Peter didn't realize Jesus was. And what does it say about the Father? This goes with your song. What does it say about the Father? He cares for you. God the Father, cares for you, even when you blow it. And you will blow it. As we know from the Apostle John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's 1 John 1:8. When you blow it, because you will, remember that you have a Savior who sympathizes with your weaknesses, and a Father, and a Savior, but and a Father who cares for you, every last one of you. Now that is good news, isn't it? God sympathizes with your weaknesses. God cares for you. And I would suggest that when you blow it, make those statements first person. Okay? You don't have to say it out loud with me. Say, God sympathizes with my weaknesses. God cares for me. This is a God that wants a personal relationship. So it is about him, but he cares for you. Okay, now the next person might say, you know what? I have just blown it way too bad. Jesus might sympathize with my weaknesses, and God the Father might care about me, but I've really blown it. I am a loser. God is mad at me. God does reject me. You know what? Maybe we should have an example, a biblical example, and I could get a whole bunch more beyond this one about how God treated someone who really, really blew it. Denying the Son of God in his greatest time of need blew it. Do you know who I'm speaking about? Yeah, somebody said it loud, but don't spoil it yet. Don't listen to that person. Let's turn together. Pew Bibles, page 703. Matthew 26, we're going to look at verses 31 through 35. So Pew Bible 703, 26, 31 through 35. I can still hear some pages turning. Which at least in my age means my hearing hasn't gone. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter, there you go. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the disciples said the same. Well, here we go. Don't close your books, by the way. Here you go. Jesus tells the disciples that they're all going to fall away. Peter insists, up to the point of death. He would never do that. Jesus tells Peter, actually, you're going to do it tonight. And Peter reiterates that there is absolutely no way that that's going to happen. How did that work out? Let's just turn the page. Ready? One page over. Let me make sure I get the verses right. We're going to be looking at, let me just get this straight. Oh, I turned this one upside down here. Okay, so we're looking at 26, 69 through 75. Are you there? So about two-thirds of the way through the page. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You are also with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath, I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began, then he began to call down curses on himself and swore to them, I don't know this man. Immediately immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Now, I do not know how you have blown it or how you will blow it. I don't know. But you've got to admit, it's pretty hard to beat that Peter walked with Jesus. Peter talked with Jesus. Peter was warned by Jesus. And Peter emphatically blew it. Not once, not twice, but three times when Jesus needed him most. And if you want something else to think about, when you blow it, sometimes other people might know about it, but often when we blow it, it's just between us and God, right? He knows. This epic fail of Peter's is recorded in every Bible. Four times. Every gospel's got it. Four times. And not just just four times in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they all both record his insistence that he would never do it and that he abandoned Jesus when he did do it. All four times. And you think you blew it? You think you are embarrassed? Now, we don't have time to discuss epic fail Peter's, right? Epic fail Peter's life going forward from that point. But we do know that God used him mightily and that we will see him in heaven when we get there. Although Peter was still far from perfect after that point, you may remember Paul in Galatians chapter 2 having to rebuke him for a little hypocrisy on his part. It is no wonder that tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down because he felt he was unworthy to die the same way that Jesus did. Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter was truly saved. Peter was willing to die for his faith. And you know, that same Jesus who predicted Peter's epic fail also predicted his return. I mentioned that all four Gospels captured both his insistence he wouldn't do it and then when he did do it. I'm going to read quickly to save some time from Luke instead of making you look it up. But Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And think about these verses. This is unique to Luke. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you turn back, listen to those words. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. But he, Peter, he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. When I blow it, because luckily you don't have to be perfect to stand up in this pulpit, when I blow it, I like to focus on those four words, when you turn back. Jesus knew Peter would blow it. Jesus knew Peter would turn back. Jesus knows you are going to blow it. Jesus knows you will turn back. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one, again, good words to focus on, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And by the way, if you want to look that up later, John 10, 25 through 30. You believe in Jesus because you are his sheep. You hear his voice and you follow him. Nobody, not even you, think about that for a moment, nobody, not even you, can snatch you out of his hand. You will not perish. Jesus sympathizes with your weaknesses. God the Father cares. When you blow it, Jesus knows you are going to turn back. Now that's good news, isn't it? Oh, come on, a little more energy. That's good news, isn't it? Yes, exactly. Okay, now there are two gotchas of my sermon as we get towards the end. Luckily, I didn't hear an amen for that. As we get towards the end, there are two gotchas in my sermons. First, it could easily seem there's nothing horrible about you blowing it, that sin isn't that a big a deal. But you know, brothers and sisters, sin is a big deal. Big enough that the sinless Son of God had to give up his glory in heaven, come down here and die for you, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Your sins, our sins, led to Jesus' death. Okay, second gotcha. Is up to now, although I've given you plenty of feel good, God won't forsake you words, I really haven't told you what to do when you blow it, have I? I've kind of said, don't feel so bad about it. I quoted from 1 John 1:8. Let's as a last scripture that we'll look at together, let's turn to page 862 and look at the very next verse. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 on page 862. There. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When you blow it, when we blow it, what should we do? Yes, confess, which includes repenting, right? Confess, which includes repenting of our sins. And he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you. I think I'm pretty trustworthy, but I'm human. I might say something and might not do it, but when Jesus promises you he'll do something, guess what? He will do it. Happy New Year, everybody. If you made resolutions this year, I hope that you can keep them all. But sooner or later, guess what? You're going to blow it. You've got it, exactly. Whether they're resolutions or God's commandments, because I'll tell you right now, every commandment of God should be a resolution and is implicitly. Everybody in this building, everybody, including up in this pulpit, is going to blow it. And when you blow it, I want you to remember you believe because you are his sheep. You hear his voice and you follow him. Nobody, not even you, can snatch you out of Jesus' hand. You will not perish. Jesus sympathizes with your weaknesses. God the Father cares. When you blow it, Jesus knows you're going to turn back. Confess and repent of your sins. He is faithful and just, and will forgive them. To wrap up, I need to be honest in here. My God won't forsake you words in confessing equals forgiveness can only be comforting if you're actually saved. If you are actually saved. Also, if you are think yourself a Christian and you unabashedly sin, there's a pretty good chance you aren't. If you aren't saved, then when you blow it, you should be worried, very worried, eternal fate worried. I'm not going to stop on a downer. However, even if you aren't saved, Jesus does sympathize with your weaknesses and invites you to believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. That's Acts 16:31 in part. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38 in part. If you aren't saved or aren't sure, please come forward during the final song. That's a clue sharing. Please come forward during the final song and let our deacons and deaconesses pray for you and with you. If you can't quite do that because you're too bashful, then look for the tag and grab one of us afterwards. And let's make sure you are prepared for when you blow it, because you will blow it.